All right, 3, 2, 1. Good morning.
Good morning.
How are you?
Good. How are you?
Oh, it's Monday. It's great. It's a beautiful day, but it still has a little Monday hiccups that are going on, like recording this podcast. That's all right. So this morning we have Jeselyn Kenton.
Yep.
Good morning. How are you?
How are you? Good.
So you were on before. You were on with, what was the guy's name from Rehoboth Ale House?
Adam Newman.
Adam Newman. Mm-hmm. Super nice guy. Ended up going there.
Yeah.
Maybe like, I don't know, when my buddy Devin was playing, I think maybe next week, the following weekend, and went down there with Carlos. Had never been. I may have been there when it was something else in the past, but great place.
Yeah, it's awesome there.
And so you're involved with their social media.
I am.
And you reached out to me to have him on to give those guys a little sunshine.
Yeah.
And I was like, you know, I'm just impressed with that job. You know, that you can make that into a job.
Yeah.
You know, I'm obviously a little older, and when I was young, at least, you know, that kind of job just wasn't available. And now, you know, we've spent the last, I don't know, however many years making fun of video games, social media. And now, all of a sudden, you're kind of running the show a bit.
Yeah.
And you are, you know, there's a need right now for people just to work, right?
Right.
But there is a need for this social media kind of side.
Yeah.
So why don't you talk about it? I mean, tell me, how'd you get involved? How'd you get excited about it? I'm sure, you know, just being young was probably the first step. But
how do you
take that from, you know, having fun with it to actually making a career out of it? I don't know if it's career, but at least a job.
So hopefully it will turn into a career over time. Obviously, like, I just graduated last year, so I'm still very new in all of this. But I was about halfway through college and I just kind of realized that I hated everything that I was doing. I mean, I went from athletic training to education to then general business. And then when I finally transferred to Goldie Beacom College, where I ended up getting my degree from, they had a business administration degree, but they had all these concentrations.
Mm-hmm.
So I decided to go with marketing. I always knew that I was a very creative person and I liked to create things, and I also didn't mind being the one behind the camera all the time.
Right.
So I ended up going that route, and I really enjoyed my studies. And that just kind of turned into what I'm doing now. I never thought that I would get a job where I'm literally on my phone all day, every day. But, I mean, here we are.
Yeah, and I'm glad you brought that up, because when you're on a day that you spend all day on your phone, you feel it.
Yeah.
I mean, even probably maybe I know if there's a day like today, or, you know, we'll do a bunch of podcasts and we got to really, you know, put a lot of the stuff out on whether it's Instagram or Facebook, you know, at the end of the day, I'm like, ugh, you know, I feel pretty exhausted. So, I mean, how do you, does that happen to you, or are you going to make it? Going to handle it?
I'll make it. It's definitely taken its toll a couple days. Like, there have been days where I'm working for like 12 plus hours and I'm just on my phone, on my computer, on my tablet, just like cranking out content.
Yeah.
Which is great for the rest of the week when I line all this stuff up. But in one day, it's like I'm having to take my contacts out and putting on my blue light glasses. I'm like taking ibuprofen because I've got a splitting headache. Like, it definitely takes its toll.
Well, I wonder if it, you know, I mean, it might be a little dangerous.
Oh, yeah, for sure.
It's funny, that blue light talk now. Blue light talk. That's this lady. I just bought a new line of products for the salon, and she's like, well, this is a great vitamin D spray for blue light. I'm like, what are you talking about? What? She goes, oh, yeah, you spray this on your face, and it helps you protect from the blue light. I'm like, what blue light? From the screen, the monitor, the computer, your phone. I'm like, really? Okay.
Yeah.
And now I'm hearing it again. So, I mean, if you're in front of a computer, I guess it is hard on you.
Yeah.
I got some spray if you need it. Spray on your face, some vitamin D, some supplement spray.
No,
blue light protection. Well, it is. So now, does the Rehoboth Ale House own you? I mean, are you locked down in there? How's your freelance? I mean, what's going on? Are you available for, are you locked in?
I would say that I'm fairly locked in.
Okay.
Mostly because I, you know, we have Rehoboth Ale House downtown and we now have Rehoboth Ale House on the Mile. So I'm running two separate social media accounts for both of them. So I've got, you know, Facebook for one, Facebook for the other, Instagram for one, Instagram for the other. You know, it's updating the website. And now my job has kind of like evolved. It started off with me applying to be a waitress, just in the off season, to then them seeing my resume and being like, oh, like we'd really love to have you, but we just need like social media and like, that's it. And I started off the first couple weeks just doing social media, but then it turned into, oh, can you like book some bands? And like, now it's turned into like, oh, can you just like start hiring people for our new location? So it's like, I'm kind of doing it all right now.
Do you think that that's, I mean, that's the kind of shit that I do. Mm-hmm. And sometimes it's a little dangerous. Well, I mean, like I'll hire somebody to do something and mm-hmm. then I realize they do more and then I start having them do more. And usually they're like, yeah, no problem. And then all of a sudden people get resentments and stuff. I mean, not that that's happening with you, but it has happened with me. Do you have to like protect yourself in a way, like, you know, not take on too much because you want to, you know, you're new, mm-hmm. you know, you want to stay, you're enjoying it. So you say yes a lot. And then all of a sudden you're like, damn, I'm doing way too much. I mean, how do you protect yourself from that?
I definitely like set some boundaries, and that's been something I've done my whole life. It's like, if I know that I'm doing too much, I know that I need to scale back.
Yeah.
But with Ale House, it's been so chill. Like, I don't, every time I say yes, there isn't any kind of resentment. Right. It's just kind of like, I have the time, like I'm already here, I might as well. And, you know, with like the asking me to hire people, bring new people in, like, that's so easy because I'm already looking at the emails and I can see all the resumes and I see the people that want to work. So I'm just like, okay. And I shoot them an email back. And I mean, it's really easy.
Well, going from waitress to basically now hiring, it can be a, you know, it's a, listen, it's a, I won't say emotional, but you can become, it's a little bit of an emotional deal. It's like, I didn't sign up for all this. So, I mean, it's great that you handle it. And I think that, you know, maybe young people, I could probably have handled it. It's just, as a guy that's on the other side of it, where I've had people come in and then they're like, yeah, and I get them to do all this stuff. And the next thing they're like, this is too much shit. I'm out. And you're like, oh, no, I'm sorry. I apologize. I didn't mean to put so much on your shoulders. But it sounds like you have a pretty good handle on it. And it sounds like you're having fun. I enjoyed those guys, or the owner that when he was here. I had a good time. I thought he was super nice. And it was weird when we went down there. This guy, I walked in, the guy's like, hey, Tom, what's up? And I was like, hey. But everybody had masks on, so I don't know who anybody is. Mm-hmm. And then I felt a little bit bad because we ended up going in back to the back, and Carlos was back there. And next thing you know, we're standing around when we really weren't supposed to be. And I just like, we had a really nice time. So then you're pretty locked in. Well, and the only reason I ask is because I have another friend, Ashley, who I do a lot of stuff with, and she is like, same thing, you know, just inundated with social people that need help in social media. And luckily, and that's kind of the screwed up part about social media. You can do it, right? I could do it all day, but am I doing it right? You know, am I doing it at the right time? Am I doing it? She was telling me, oh, yeah, you have to like somebody's stuff twice, send some of your stuff, they like it, and then by then there's this mutual understanding that you'll start to follow one another. And I'm like, really? This is...
No, that's not at all.
Where is this written down?
That's not at all. No, everyone thinks that there's some kind of like, there's these rules to marketing.
Secret code.
And then there's not. There's general practices that you can follow, but for the most part, at least what I learned from my 4-year degree is... you just kind of hope for the best. Like, obviously you don't want to say something stupid, or you don't want to come off as you know, obtuse or anything. It's better to be clear cut, straight to the point with things,
right?
And now it's really mainly just keeping up with the platforms themselves, because they're constantly evolving. Like right now on Instagram, likes mean nothing anymore. It's all about the saves that you get. So there's like a little...
The saves. Where are the saves at?
So when you're looking at an Instagram post, you usually have like the like button, the comment button.
The heart.
Yep. The share button, which looks like a little paper airplane.
Yep.
But then over on the right...
looks like a banner.
It's kind of like a little tab almost. And you press that and it saves it. And to get to your saves is not very easy. You have to go to like your account and then click... settings and then go to like saved posts and things like that. But it's you can put it into categories. So if I see this picture of a house that I really think is cute, then I'll save that to like my house folder or whatever.
Oh my God, really? There's now folders?
Yeah.
Okay.
So it used to be you would like a post and then you'd have to go to your account and then hit liked post and you'd have to scroll and scroll and scroll to find this one picture that you liked. But sometimes you get sucked in and you're liking and liking and liking and just going for hours. And you end up losing it. So now you have the saves, but that somehow now means more than likes do. So I can get 200 likes on a photo, but it doesn't mean anything if I have no saves.
Well, right. But it still means something.
Kind of. But the way that the Instagram algorithm is now set up is that like they'll stop showing your content like first when you first like open up Instagram.
Pull up a little. I want to hear you.
Yeah.
There you go. I want people to hear you.
When you pull up Instagram, you have the, typically, at least for me, when I pull up Instagram, it's like the same couple accounts every time that I see first.
Right.
And that's just not because of how many likes they have, but usually how many saves. So it's like, how creative is their post? How artistic is it? And sometimes it's people that only have like 200-300 followers, but I'm seeing them every single time, whether it's because I've saved their stuff before or my followers have also saved their stuff, and it's like they're popping up first for me. So that means more now. So now when I'm like tracking our analytics for Rehoboth Ale House, I'm keeping track of how many saves we get per month, and the number's been going up, but I think it's because not many people know that that exists.
Right.
And the most people, you know, the age category for people that follow us is I think somewhere between like 30 and 44 years old.
Okay.
So it's that age group doesn't necessarily know like, oh, like these are the updates with Instagram I shouldn't be liking. It's like, well, yeah, you should. Like if you like the content, then like it. But for us on my end, it looks better if there's saves than likes, and it's so messed up.
Yeah, it's a little confusing, and sometimes I think we lose the point, right? Yeah. I mean, what's the point? What do we want? What do I, as a person with Instagram, if I'm doing like the Rehoboth Social Podcast Instagram, what do I want? What am I looking for? I want people to see, one, that we're doing a podcast, and two, that we're doing a podcast, right? So I just want people to check out our podcast, and I want people to check out our podcast for my podcast and the other people's podcasts. You know, I'm trying to promote the local folks podcasting. And that's like, in the nutshell, that's it. That's what I want. I just want people to find our network. But then I can make it overcomplicated. And, you know, I'm shooting for analytics. It's interesting because when you said 30 to 43 or whatever, the main, you know, which is really the age where people don't even really like Instagram.
Yeah.
I don't even know if we even know what it's for, right? It's, I have six Instagrams. I actually tried to start another one for the salon because we got a new product and I was like, oh. She's like, you don't have an Instagram for it? I go, believe it or not, I don't. And so I tried to start another one on Instagram, said, you have too many.
Yeah.
So I was like, okay. But, you know, when I kind of experiment, like I have one Instagram, I just like everything that comes up. Like it, like it, like it, like it. Ads, everything. Ads, anything that comes up, I just like it. I'm just trying to aggravate Instagram. And then I have one where I just, you know, I like my friends. And so it's interesting because of the different kinds of feed that I've started to create on my different Instagrams. And so that's you know, so to help a business on Instagram, we should start saving their posts.
Yep.
Well, and that makes sense because, I mean, how many times do you look see something and you're like, what did I see? So I wonder if that's just because of the amount of content out there now.
There's so much content now, but it's been really cool for me because I've been trying to practice what I preach and start saving things myself. So it's like, the other day I was scrolling through Instagram and I saw that this restaurant Heirloom had this picture of this dish and I was like, that looks good. So I saved it knowing that I would forget about it until the other night where boyfriend and I got hungry and I was like, oh wait, I remember this. And I went right there to my saved like local, I called it Local Eats is my folder. And I opened it and there it was. I was like, oh, this looks good.
Well, and I think Instagram's definitely transformed. When I first started, it was really just about friends.
Yeah.
It's now a business. It's a store. I mean, it's either you want to buy, they want you to buy something, they want you to know where they are to buy something, or they want you to save it now.
Yeah.
To come buy it later.
Yeah.
Which
I, even though like I'm in the social media business. I cannot stand it anymore. Yeah. It is so saturated by people that just want to shake their booty and get paid for it.
Right.
Which, like, if that's your prerogative, then okay. But at the same time, it's like, that's when you're in your 40s, 50s, that's what you're going to be known shakeable. For.
No more booty shaking in so the 50s.
It's just like, what is your legacy going to be? You know, and it's, everyone knows you from social media and you doing all these, like, prank wars and all this other stupid stuff. And it's like, what did you actually do with your life?
Yeah.
So it's just been a lot. Cause then you have people that, like, I sometimes get emails where it's like, hey, like, can I be like an influencer for you? And I'm like, we're a restaurant.
Yeah.
Like, what do you want to do?
Yeah. And I'm that, I'm the influence. I'm influencing our restaurant.
Yeah. It's like, I'm the behind the scenes influencer. I'm getting you to feel things just from things that I post. Like, there's a whole algorithm behind it. Like, I don't need someone to hop up on my bar top and dance.
Yeah, it is. These influencers are something else, right? Mm-hmm. I mean, just taking pictures of themselves in clothes. And I mean, I don't know. I guess it was cool in the beginning, sort of. I don't know. It wasn't influenced.
Yeah, it was like groundbreaking in the beginning because people were like, oh, I can get like paid to be an internet personality. And that was like one thing when it was back in the day on YouTube. And that stuff, like, people were actually giving like valuable like product reviews or things like that. But now it's turned into like, oh my gosh, you will never believe what so and so did to me. And it's like right. An hour long video on that. And it's like, I don't care.
Yeah. And it used to be fun. And I wonder if we'll ever get back to that, because I love social media. I used to love, you know, when I very first got, it was funny. We were watching this Netflix movie last night called Why Did You Kill Me? I don't know if you saw it, but it's this girl who got murdered. But anyway, this chick was trying to find the girl's murderer through MySpace. And I don't know if you even had a MySpace, did you?
Mm-mm.
Yeah, so I remember when MySpace came out. And MySpace was kind of cool. You kind of had your little page, and you could put some music and, mm-hmm. you know, a little bit of chatting and stuff. But it was pretty basic. And then Facebook showed up, kind of harpooned MySpace. Mm-hmm. And Facebook was fun, but you couldn't share videos. You couldn't really share music. And they've evolved, and they kind of became what they are. And then Instagram showed up. And Instagram was fun because you could just... You know, if I went and ate a restaurant, I'd take pictures and just give a little shout out, mm-hmm. you know, just say, look what we ate. But now it's so, like you said, it's so saturated with so much, you don't take any of it really that serious.
Yeah. And it's sad because, you know, like you said, it used to be one thing where it was like, you could take pictures of anything and post it. And there was no, like, there was no backlash. There was no like, oh, I don't like this content, you shouldn't post this. It was just like your friends just genuinely liking your post, just seeing what you were doing on a day-to-day basis. But now it's like on my Instagram, if I was to post like a plate of food, people would be like, are you okay? Should we send help? Like, what is wrong with you? Yeah. Like, it's so weird now because it's like they only want to see your face. You can't. Because if I were to post, like, anything besides my face, like, if I was to just post a picture of my dog, as cute as he is, I would get, like, maybe, like, 80 to 100 likes, whereas the average for my picture is, like, 200 to 300 likes, and that's just, like, on my personal page. So that's kind of weird, like...
I only got, like, 10. This is what's weird. How come I can't get more than in your dog gets more pictures than me, more likes than me?
I quit. Cute.
He is cute. Sorry, bro. He's a pretty cute dog.
He is. But yeah, it's so complicated now because it's like I can't even. I don't know. I have to keep up now that I'm, you know, doing social media for a living. I have to keep up with like my Instagram and follow all of like the quote unquote roles.
Right.
But it sucks because I can't really like show like who I really am either. Right. It's like if I go out to eat, I can't post a picture of that. Now it's acceptable to do that on Snapchat. Like on Snapchat, yeah, post whatever you want. It goes away in 24 hours and people won't have to go back and be looking at it. So
you like you can't post stuff now because of you because
you can. It's just like there's these little rules and I've tried it before. I set up, this was like when I was in college and this was for, like a class we were in. They were like, set up like a fake Instagram account basically. And they were called Finstas. I still
Finstas?
Have mine. Finstas. It's a fake Instagram where you just kind of post whatever and you follow. The rule is you only follow people that it's their Finsta. So it like my closer friends, like they all have Finstas. I have a Finsta. We only follow each other's Finsta accounts. We don't follow anyone's like real accounts, but you post pictures of your food or pictures of you with no makeup on or just like whatever you feel like, just stupid videos, throwbacks, like whatever you want, memes. And it's like a safe space on social media where you can actually post what you want. And then you have your real Instagram where you just like put the mask on. And the whole goal with like this assignment was like just see like how much happier you are using this version than your real Instagram. And it actually kind of shocked me to the point where like I still have my Finsta and use it regularly because it's like I can be who I want and only my close friends are seeing it. Like I think I have like 30 people on my Finsta.
And you get a little love, a little love, and just a little love is fine. You don't need to have, I get that. That's, you know, I take the, my approach is I just don't care.
Yeah.
And I break the big rules, which I blend personal and business.
Mm-hmm.
I had somebody reach out to me and they're like, I cannot stand when people blend their personal and their business Facebook or Instagram pages. And I'm like, I don't care.
No, I'm not sorry about it.
Yeah, I'm not really. I don't appreciate when someone says I can't do this. Mm-hmm. It's like, I mean, I, you know, I can't, you know, you still have to have business, right? Rehoboth Ale House still has to put out some good beer. They still got to put out decent food. They still got to have a, you know, a nice, happy environment. I mean, it's still, I mean, we need that. I mean, it's like we almost forget that the business still has to be good. You could probably, not you, but we could, you know, create the look or the appearance that a business is way more than it is. And I think that does that. I would imagine that happens. You may follow a business on Instagram. You're like, oh my God, these guys or gals or whatever. They're so good. Look at them. Look at all the great art. And then you go in there like no personality, no conversation, no ability to communicate. Not really as great as it is. So it can be a double-edged sword sort of.
Oh, yeah. I run into that all the time because I'll be, you know, just running, you know, the social medias and I'll. It's funny because I'll end up on like the downtown or the mile Instagram and I'll just be scrolling, not realizing I'm not on my Instagram and I'll see something. I'm like, oh, like this is cool. And then I'll realize like, why am I seeing this? And I'm like, oh, I'm on the downtown Instagram. So then I'll switch over to my Instagram, go find a post from this place and just be like, oh, I want to go check this out. And then I get there and I'm like, this is not at all what I thought it was. And their Instagram looks so awesome.
Yep.
But the place itself is like... The work that you put into social media, you also have to put into other aspects of your business.
Like the business.
Yeah. And it's kind of shocking how many people are like so quick to be like, we got to get this content out. We have to do this. We have to do that. And then you walk through the door and it's like, you don't see any of that same like care that you put into it, like behind the scenes.
Yeah. And that's a problem.
Yeah.
I mean, there is a, you know, business, we're coming through this thing, this pandemic and businesses are already having, you know, it's already going to be tough. We're starting to see it. I mean, the other day I went to Wawa and they were closed. Wawa closes at night now because they don't have enough employees.
Jeez.
I'm like, that has never happened.
No.
Wawa being open all night has always been a thing, and now they're closed at night. So that was kind of weird. And we're just starting to see some of the second dropping of the second hammer that's falling with this pandemic. And you know, so do you think a business can, I mean, I know a business can succeed without Instagram, but what do you say to a business that doesn't really know? We're not trying to get all your secrets, but what do you say to a business that, because you'll see, I'll say, are you on Instagram? They go, oh, no.
Yeah.
And, you know, they want help. And I think inside they feel like they can't survive if they're not doing something like that. But you can still survive, right, without social media?
Word of mouth advertising is still the number one form of advertising. That was something, again, that I learned in college. And that wasn't something out of, like, a textbook. That was, you know, my professors at Goldie were professors that were also, like, full-time employees somewhere else. So not only was I getting textbook knowledge, I was getting, like, their secondhand knowledge of things that they had learned over their careers.
Right.
And that was something that I was taught, like, day one. Like, yeah, this is a cool job. However, like, you're still going to have to compete with word of mouth advertising. So even if a business is like, I don't want to do social media, like, that's probably fine for them. Like, if they're successful, they certainly don't need a social media. But I think my one suggestion would be to start off very simple and just go through Facebook because everyone has a Facebook page.
Right.
That you'd be very hard pressed to find someone who doesn't these days. So if you start off with Instagram and you just, or you're on Facebook and you claim the business through your personal Facebook, it just makes it so much easier because then you can control it like from your feed and everything. And it just becomes a normal part of your Facebook. And it's a very simple way to just kind of like slowly dive in to that world. And
yeah.
The way that I prefer Facebook over literally everything, just because it's so much easier. You're appealing to an older crowd. You can post a picture and you're still getting just as many likes as you would on Instagram or anywhere else.
Right.
The worst right now is just Twitter because it's just memes and people making fun of like pop culture, stuff like that. And then some news like sprinkled in. And Twitter is great. I hop on Twitter every night and I get a couple laughs in, but it is not a place where I would market a business by any means, unless it was in like Apple or,
right,
you know, something like that, something that's well known.
I've never been into Twitter.
Oh, I love Twitter.
You do? I mean, for the jokes. Because I mean, I get that, but
content on Twitter.
I don't. I just don't. I guess I'm just not. Yeah. And that's probably just the age thing. I mean, mm-hmm. I lately I've been into Reels.
Mm-hmm.
Reels crack me up. And I have 6 Instagrams, and all, you know, each reel from each Instagram is like, you know, kind of different.
Yeah.
And I get cracked up with those. Those things are pretty funny.
Yeah.
Oh no. I get cracked. We laugh.
I like Reels. It is kind of annoying because some people don't realize like, you know, they're making TikToks and then they'll just download the TikTok and post it as a reel. But the entire time I've got this little thing that's floating around the screen that says TikTok and then has their TikTok handle. And it's like, well, yep, you didn't actually create a reel. You just uploaded something to Reels. And I think that's mainly because Reels are so hard to use. They're not like TikTok has made it so easy where it shows you where everything is. But on the Reels, you kind of have to guess and play around with it. And in today's day and age, people need to be told like straight.
I kind of like that though, because that's kind of the funny part. It's like, is it on? Do I have it on here? Oh, it's on. Let's go. You know, there's that's the silliness.
Yeah.
When, because my son, my kids like TikTok. I have it on my phone, but I've tried to look at it, but it's not funny. It's almost it's a little serious.
Yeah, some of it is.
Yeah, I mean, what I've seen, it's like, you know, it's a little more. It's almost like the mature version of Reels.
Yeah.
But with a little bit of the silliness sometimes sprinkled in. But if I go on TikTok and I just start going through it, I'm like, no, that's not that funny. That's not that funny.
Yeah.
Where Reels to me is like all just silly.
And on TikTok, they use an algorithm much like Instagram does. So if you aren't engaging with the content at all, so like if you watch it and you're like, no, like if you don't like, comment, share, anything like that, they're going to show you less of that, but you can also hold down on the screen and say, I'm not interested, and they'll stop showing you stuff like that.
Okay, so if you just put your finger down on the screen, and it'll bring up that option.
Yeah, because my boyfriend's the same way. He doesn't like anything on TikTok, and he'll find the stuff funny, but he's like, I don't want to like stuff. I don't want to do all this. And then I'll find things, he'll be like, that was stupid, and I'll just go on his screen. I hold it down. I'm like, not interested, and he'll see less of it. And now his TikTok is at a place where he's like, everything's funny. I like it all now. So it's like you kind of have to train your algorithm and the math behind it to show you what you like.
Yeah. Well, like I said, I have kind of 6 experiments going on with my different Instagrams. And because I saw that, what was it? The Social Network. It was on Netflix, but the show about Social Network or the social media. And I started watching. I'm like, oh, let's have 5 guys who helped create this whole mess. Now lecture me on how bad it is.
Yeah.
I'm like, save it, bro. I mean, give me a break. But the one thing that, you know, that I learned is that it's constantly changing.
Yeah.
You know, and just when you think you're figuring something out, something else shows up. I don't know what's the latest. I think we talked about it when you were here last time. What's the one that you basically, people just follow you? OnlyFans. Yeah, that's one.
Oh, goodness.
Have you seen that one?
No.
You haven't even seen that one?
OnlyFans?
I think that's what it's called. You basically, you can create a page and you just do shit and people pay you.
Yeah, that is.
And I think a lot of them use it as, you know, maybe a little more inappropriate behavior, but.
Yeah, I've never gone on there just because I know the content. Like if I'm on Twitter or if I'm on Instagram.
So you do know about it.
I know about it.
Okay.
But people
I'm not
be
crazy.
Like, people will be like, oh, like here's a link to my OnlyFans, but it's not typically not very safe.
Yeah, safe. Warning.
I read about it on Twitter when someone does something on OnlyFans or, you know, whatever, but I don't go on there. That's I don't know. I feel like, no offense, but you'd have to be like pretty desperate, I think, to be one of those people that's like has all of these subscriptions to OnlyFans where it's like you're paying for like 10 girls content per month. And it's just, I think it's a terrible platform because it's, you get people that are already addicted to social media and then you have people with all these other addictions that are seeing stuff like this. They're like, oh, well, it's easily accessible. And then it kind of frightens me for the future, like the safety of the people that are on OnlyFans.
Sure.
Because it's like, if you have these people that are obsessed with you, that are paying a subscription and then are also tipping you on top of that, like what happens like if they stalk you?
Yeah.
Like things like that. And it's, you know, not blaming the people on there, but it's like you just, it's scary, the risks behind social media. Like that's, I used to post like every single day when I was younger. And now I'm like, I don't post, I don't tag where I'm at usually. Like I don't put a location on my Instagram. Like there are too many creeps out there. Like,
well, that's true.
I don't want that.
Well, and we've gone from like Facebook, which was, or like I just said, we were at MySpace, which was, you know, I had a page, and then Facebook where, hey, I got a page and I could take a picture of my sandwich and it's, and then we went to Instagram where now we've created a business to kind of, we're almost like a feet on the street kind of working for Instagram, right? I'm helping, right? And now we've evolved to just forget all that.
Yeah.
Just watch me.
Yeah.
Because it used, like I'm a little bit part of it. I've become a little more part of it. And then now I'm like really working hard and very involved. And then all of a sudden we're just now just forget all that nonsense. Let's just watch me.
Yeah.
And pay me. Because that's in the end what we want.
Yeah. And that's, I've gotten so into, like, at the end of the night, I'm no longer scrolling through, like, Instagram for hours. Like, I'll be on Twitter for a good an hour, probably. Mm. But I don't scroll through everything for hours on end. The one thing that I do scroll through is Pinterest. Because Pinterest reminds me of how Instagram used to be. Because you can still like things. You can pin things, put them in different folders. So it's kind of a mix of like what Instagram is now and a lot of what it used to be. And it's just like you can find things. Like the other day I was like, it is 50 degrees out and I really want to wear this one outfit, but I don't know. And so I just type in like 50 degree weather outfit. And then you just have all of these things. And it's so like informative and then also stylish and cute. And there's just so much on there that's very untapped, I think. Just so much like potential within with Pinterest, but no one's going to use that as like a social media platform. The people that do already have like a large following and they're like, oh, like follow me on Pinterest, but you're not going to get much out of that.
I made a social podcast network I made a social media platform called the Rehoboth Social.
Mm-hmm.
And it was like a Facebook, you know, it was basically like 10 groups. I think it was beaches, dining, music, I don't know, running, athletic. It was like 10 groups, and then you could follow each group or you could follow everything. If you followed a group, it was just, you know, like running and taking pictures of running and eating out. It was almost like a very, very early version of like a Facebook, where before all the stuff got involved. And, you know, the reality is Facebook does a great job. It really didn't have any place. It didn't do anything.
Mm-hmm.
But I wonder, I still have it. And, you know, I wonder if maybe one day we'll head back to reverting back to, you know, like this podcast, this network. You know, we can't compete with like a Joe Rogan or, you know, these big giant podcast businesses. But we can put out local podcasts.
Mm-hmm.
We could share our podcasts locally. Right. You know, we could be... provide podcasting for our area. You know, we don't have to compete. I don't need advertisers in California.
Right.
You know, we only really are focusing on Rehoboth and the surrounding areas. So I still wonder if done correctly, if a more local social media platform might be something that might work one day, you know, because it's becoming so much like,
yeah,
I can't, you know, I can't think about, you know, my buddy's running in India, you know, I can't think about my buddy. Well, you know, and, you know, thoughts and prayers with everybody in India. They're really having a tough time right now. And I have some friends in India, so prayers and thoughts for them. But, you know, it's hard to follow everything. So, mm-hmm. you know, maybe getting back to more of a local thing. It was cool. The thing I built too, because you could do posts and mm-hmm. you could, it had miles that you picked. So like if I wanted to, you know, if I, let's say, you know, Rehoboth Ale House has a big following and they have a lot of people in DC, but let's say it's winter and you say, listen, we're going to do like a burger special tonight. And you only post like in a 5 mile radius.
Yeah.
So only people in a 5 mile radius get to post, you know, not the people in DC.
Mm-hmm.
We're like, we're in DC. We're not obviously coming to get a burger tonight. So it had, you could change the amount, the width of the area that you got posted in. And it had a lot of fun stuff. It's still, I'm actually getting it. I screwed it up. I changed the website and messed it up. So I'm like, hi, it's Rob in India. Yeah, can you fix my social media platform?
Mm-hmm.
But when it gets fixed, I'll show it to you and you can see. I mean, we had a pretty good following on it. It just, then I transformed into the network and it got a lot of confusion and mm-hmm. stuff. And but yeah, so maybe that might be the direction. You know, I think that I like the idea of picking how many miles a post went out.
Yeah, it's a nice thought, and it kind of scares me to think about the future of social media, because it's like, what else could you possibly have? Like, at this point, it kind of feels like these are the apps that we're stuck with. Because you can't, you know, if you made something new, it would just kind of be a replica of something that already exists. There's not much else that you could do now.
Right.
So I feel like eventually we're going to end up kind of going backwards and moving towards the way that we used to do things, especially in regards to social media. But at the same time, it's just ever evolving. So I don't know if we would ever get to a point where I think that would work for an older generation of people that just want to see very specific things. But at the same time, you can tailor your personal platforms to kind of reflect that at the same time. So if you really only want to see, you know, local things on social media, you could follow only local things. You don't have to follow places that are in DC. You can, you know, that's part of what I do on like my second Finsta account, is that I have all of these places that I'd like to visit or I have visited. And I only follow them. No one follows me back. I don't have any posts, but it's just a way for me to like filter through and be like, okay, well, I haven't been here, so let me try this, or I've been there, this was great, let me write a review and like help them out. There's definitely like different ways that you can go about it. But maybe in the future, something like that would work. Yeah. I think even at a place like this, like Lower Slower, I think it would have a better shot than anywhere else.
Right.
We do things a little differently around here.
We do. Yes, we do. My father-in-law's like, how come I didn't get a copy of this contract? We bought a house, and he's like, how come we didn't get a copy of the contract? I'm like, we're in Lower Slower, Delaware. Nobody's in any hurry to do anything mm-hmm. here. You know, we're not in New York City right now. Mm-hmm. This is, all right, we'll get to it.
Mm-hmm.
You know, one of my biggest complaints about social media is when, you know, and I listen, stuff pops up. I'm like, oh, my God, that does look kind of cool, mm-hmm. and I may buy it. And then it just continues to be pumped down my face. Mm-hmm. I'm like, I already bought this stuff. I bought this. My latest thing, I bought this Loom Cube light that mounts on the back of your laptop when we do the this music podcast. And I have to be on the computer or on the Zoom call. I look terrible. So I bought this little, you know, little, it has like a suction cup in the back. And mm-hmm. it just mounts on the back of my laptop and has a light.
Mm-hmm.
And I thought it was a great idea, and I found the Instagram. It was on Instagram, I think, bought it. And now my feed is full of it.
Yeah.
I'm like, I already bought it.
Yeah, that's, people in my generation like to call that the FBI agent in your phone, because everyone thinks that there's, like, someone that's constantly just, like, watching what you're doing behind your phone. but it's so funny, because someone will be like, oh, my FBI agent's up to it again. Like, I've gotten the same ad for Wish 5 times in a row every time I've been on Facebook. And I was like, well, how long are you looking at it? They're like, what do you mean? I was like, how long did you spend looking at that ad the first time? And they're like, I don't know, probably like a couple seconds. And I'm like, see, that's the problem. I'm like, you know, you see advertisements, and the longer that you linger looking over that ad, the more they're going to show it to you. It's not anyone like behind your phone. It's just the way that the ads are set up. The longer you view something, the more often you're going to see it. So if you're looking at like, in like wish.com, for example, they have the most insane products. Some of them, they're meant to look stupid, but like catch your eye at the same time.
Mm-hmm.
Some of the most ridiculous products you would never need. But it'll pop up and you're looking at it and you're screenshotting it and you're sending it to your friends. And you're like, look at how stupid this is. And you think that you're avoiding it because you're not clicking on it. You're not looking at the comments. You're just taking it at face value, what's in front of you. But by doing that, you are allowing the algorithm to say, you know what, they really liked this. They thought it was funny, or they were intrigued by it. So I'm going to keep showing it to them. So unless you go up and say, I'm not interested in this ad, which most people don't do, you're going to continue to see it just because you looked at it, you researched it, you were like, okay, what are my other options with this? You know, things like that.
Yeah, I made a mistake of buying. I wanted to buy a Gordon Ramsay pan.
Mm-hmm.
And apparently he doesn't make them, but he makes this. There's a cool pan that he uses, and I love it. And now I'm all panned up. I'm panned up on everything. I got pans in all my Instagrams, mm-hmm, and my Facebook. It's a pan mess.
Yeah.
But whatever. So what do you think? So you don't know. It's hard for you to see the future. What do you think of the summer? I feel like this is going to be very busy.
It's going to be insanely busy.
There
was an article that I read somewhere. It was this woman who is like a real estate agent down here, or she has a ton of rental properties. And normally she's having to kind of like lower her rates throughout the season to get people to come and like book a stay or something like that. But this year she even raised her prices, and she's booked out all the way through like November. And you also have Biden, who's coming to town frequently. And then you have all these people that are wanting to get out of the house. And
you have all these people that just decided, since they don't have to work from an office, they'll just work from the beach.
Right. So you have all these people that are coming down, and like already we've seen more people down here than would be considered normal, I think. You know, I drive to work from Harrington every single day, and sometimes it's like a 40-minute drive, and sometimes it's a 2-hour drive.
Ooh.
It just kind of depends on what point I leave. Sometimes I will leave like an hour before I know I need to get there on time, because I know I'm going to be stuck in traffic.
Where do you get nailed on traffic? I mean, is it 9? What's your...
So I just go straight down Route 1. It usually hits me like right after Milton, honestly, like right here going like Lewis. That's right. Where it hits me the worst. And then all the way through Rehoboth.
It's bad.
And then when it rains, people just don't know how to drive.
We just bought a new house. Well, we bought a piece of property. We bought some dirt. And where we live now, we live kind of down behind the, like, Rosenfelds, or, you know, down Wolf Neck Road. It's like this, you know, this side of 24, this side of Route 1. It's like, mm-hmm, this exclusive kind of spot, but we live in a trailer. Like, I love our spot, and I do love our spot. You know, I run right out of our front door down to the trail. We're just 5 minutes off, mm-hmm, on a bike to the beach. I mean, we've got a great spot, but the traffic's become so stupid that I just can't. And it's like staying in a relationship with just a nasty person. I'm just tired of the traffic, mm-hmm, and it's even gotten worse now. And so we bought some property down Robinsonville, and it's not that far. It's actually Lewis, and it's not that far away, but it's just far enough away that, like, every day I have to deal with Route 1 just to get, mm-hmm, home. That's just how I get home, Route 1.
Yeah.
And the thought that, like, I may not have to do that again, you know, unless it's a selective, you know, a moment where we decide, you make the choice to go down, then right, that's fine. But to not have to go down there, I was like, ooh, yeah. Because the other day on Saturday, my in-laws were here, and we were showing a property and driving around, and we never even went on Route 1. And I was like, so nice. It's so beautiful.
Yeah.
So it's getting tougher and tougher.
Mm-hmm.
But I think that we are going to rebound, even though it felt like last summer was pretty busy.
It was, yeah.
It was pretty busy.
It was a weird dynamic, because you saw all these people, and it was super busy. But at the same time, like, money-wise, like from a server perspective, like I made a little bit more than normal, but it kind of shocked me like how busy we were. But it was really people just wanted to camp out, is what we call it. They're just like sitting there for a long period of time. They're just camping out, having some drinks, and they're just talking to their friends for hours because they haven't seen them in forever. And so that was mainly what it was.
And that's not good.
Like, it's, I'm glad that people are having that experience, but it's like, please do so at home. Like, I am one of those people where it's like, please get vaccinated, please stay home as often as you possibly can. Like, one of the perks with Ale House is like, I can work from home. I have to go in there like maybe for like 20 minutes to take a photo of something, but for the most part, like, I mostly just do my stuff from my couch.
Sure.
And that's just, even though like I'm vaccinated, it's like, you know, you don't even know. So, you know, anything could happen. And I just like to play it safe. And so I'm one of those servers that it's like, ugh, I don't want a 10 top. They should all be home.
Right. Was that last year or is that this year?
That was last year. Now it's kind of like, I'll take them. But it's still kind of annoying. Like, and
do you think that's what's going on? People just, I mean,
people don't care anymore. They just, people will straight up walk in without a mask and we're like, hey, you got to put a mask on. They're like, it is so dumb that I have to walk in here with a mask on just to go sit 2 feet over there and take my mask off. And I'm like, listen, I agree that that makes no sense. But what I can't say is, if you don't like it, then just stay home. Like, you have that option to eat at home. Like, I don't know what to tell you. People are so quick in the restaurant industry to, like, blame me for why they can't, you know, just freely, like, no mask. And I'm like, look, you are free to go to literally any other state, but you chose to come to mine.
Right.
You have to, you assume all risk when you come here. And people, then I have people, like, coming from out of state on vacation. They're like, I don't have to do this in my state. And I'm like, well, sorry about it, but. Well, people need to
lighten up on the servers and the people that are working, because it is, you know, they didn't create this. No. We're all in this together.
And I'm not your therapist either. Not your therapist. I'm sorry that you don't like it, but at the same time, this is not my rule, although I like it. But it's weird because it's like you have these things on the table that say like, hey, like four people from the same household can sit at this table. And it's like you're serving people and you know that they're not from the same household. Like, or wear a mask when your server approaches the table. And if you've got a mouthful of food, no one in their right mind is just going to be like, oh, hold on, back up.
Oh, do you have to put your mask on when the server walks up?
Yeah, and no one does it.
I didn't know that.
I've yet to see, like, I think I've seen like two tables total, like, ever do that.
Because you're like,
but it's so awkward.
Last
it's like,
thing,
by the time
when I walk up, you're gonna need to put your mask on. By it's the like, time we get to that one point, you just don't want to ask for anything else.
By the time I walk up to the table, they're just, that's when they notice. Like, when I'm standing, like, right there is when they're like, oh, and then they like do this quick little awkward turn and they put their mask like over their face, but they don't hook it over their ears and they're just like holding it, like trying to talk to me. And I'm like, at this point, if there's one rule that I don't care that you follow, it's that one. You've got a mouthful of food. Like, I'm approaching the table every 10 minutes or so just to check on you. Like, that's, it's kind of crazy.
Yeah. It is crazy. I am, I don't even know. We've been permeated. We've squeezed fear into so many people now that they're just, you know, I don't even know if we'll ever come out of this.
Yeah. Oh, I will say, like, I normally get, like, the flu pretty bad every year. I don't get the flu vaccine, but this year I haven't had COVID. I haven't had the flu. I haven't even been like generally sick. And I really feel like I'm just, especially during like cold and flu season, I'm just going to mask up all the time. Like, it is so nice to not be like down with a cold.
The young people are like, I like these masks. It's nice.
And they're cute and they're comfy and like they match my outfit. Like, I have no qualms with the mask. People are like, I can't work with this. I can't breathe in this. And it's like,
unfortunately, I'm in a business where I have to, you know, I podcast, but I also, you know, I'm a hairdresser. Mm-hmm. And that's like, you know, there's a lot of talking and and it just takes the fun out of working, right? I mean, that's just for my job, but I get it. Yeah. My son, I'm like, dude, why don't you take off your mask?
I'm fine. I'm good.
All right, keep it
and
on.
And it depends on, like, the kind of mask you have, too. Like, there are some that are a lot more breathable than others and others that are easier, like, to talk through. These ones that I have are, like, so freaking comfy. They're from, it's called Kitsch. And they're, like, the fabric that they use is fabric that was like from, I think it's like fast fashion, basically.
Oh, okay.
So like any extra cloth that isn't used, it's just going to be thrown away. These people get it and they make it into a mask. So it's like reused.
Oh, wow.
And it's really cool. And they're super comfy and they don't hurt behind my ears or anything. And I ended up spending like $50 and I got like 12 masks, but they are really comfy.
Well, I agree. And I like the mask. See, where to me that one wouldn't work for me because that's, it touches my lips. I have a mask where it has the kind of the reinforced front grill mm-hmm. with the pop-up nose and chin mm-hmm. things. You know, I don't know if you ever saw, but Apple made an amazing mask and they gave them all for their employees. It wasn't, if they'd have sold them, I'd mm-hmm. have bought them because yeah. it was this cool, like white shield and it had this little pop-up nose thing and a little thing for your chin. Mm-hmm. But I like it because it keeps everything off of my lips.
Mm-hmm.
And when I'm talking, I don't want
rubbing. Yeah.
No rub. Well, listen, Jess, I appreciate you coming on. I'm, you know, a big fan of yours. I'm a big fan of the guys over there at the Rehoboth Ale House, and I'm excited to hear about what goes on. You know, we had talked a little bit about the mile, mm-hmm. but I think it's still a great idea to somehow create the mile. Mm-hmm. You know, there's Hudson Fields now, so why mm-hmm. can't we get back to the mile that we all forgot about for, like, yeah. the last 50 years?
Yeah, it's really exciting. Last weekend, we did like a soft open where Newman invited like his friends and family, and it was a lot of fun. We had a little a band or two bands come in. We had Joey Harcum and Bumpin' Uglies come in, and we just had a nice little concert, and we set it all up, and it was a lot of fun. And I think that's going to be like one of the new places in the Rehoboth area to be, honestly.
I would think so, and honestly, awesome. I love the idea of turning, you know, transforming the mile into a bliss big place where you just walk around, you know,
yeah.
and it's, I'm not even going to get into Rehoboth about parking, okay, but right. there seems like oh, we have yeah. another, a baby Rehoboth.
Yeah. mm-hmm.
The baby one.
Yeah.
Well, will you come back?
Yeah, absolutely.
All right, and keep us filled in on what's going on with the Ale House and, yeah. and the mile.
Oh, yeah. The mile, we're going to be announcing sometime this week when we're going to be officially opening. So
well, send it to
fun.
Me and I'll save it.
Cool.
And I'll post it in my Instagram.
Cool.
Save your Instagrams, people. This mm-hmm. is the new thing. We yep. people appreciate it.
Save and share before you like.
Well, listen, I appreciate you coming on the Rehoboth Social. Stay in touch. I'll reach out and check on you every once in a while, and you know, keep you know, just helping one another and whatever yeah. you know, whatever we can do. If you need to come on and promote some,
yeah, sure.
The door is open. All right?
Awesome.
All right. Have a great day.
Need
See you, Jess. Bye.
Bye.